Hallo und welcome to the talk Digital Freedom with Youth and Education, Schulfrei. In the following talk, we are going to explain how the project Schulfrei brings free digitization to schools and how it includes young contributors. Before we start, I'd like to introduce myself. I am Benedikt Zuska, I'm 17 years old and I live in Wuppertal in Germany. I'm a student in the 11th grade and I am a member of Tickets EV. My personal interests are home automation, working on projects in hackerspaces with friends, as long as it was possible before the pandemic, and I like to make music.
My name is Felix. I am a member of Tickets and also of Schulfrei.
Who is Tickets EV and what is the Schulfrei project? Tickets EV is a free software youth organization and so far we know the only one. Our headquarters is in Germany, but we work internationally, like right now at Foster. Our goal is to set up a free software community for children and adolescents. At Tickets we have three projects, Hackenfun, Leopard and Schulfrei. In Hackenfun, children can have the first contact to free software while using it at workshops. Schulfrei allows young people to contribute to the development, and in Leopard they can improve their skills by visiting and planning sessions. We also host instances of Moodle, BigBlueButton and Jitsi for educational organizations, and we contribute to educational FOSS. Schulfrei is a project of Tickets EV and its name is a German pun. Our mission is to show schools, etc. how to use free, open and secure software. Therefore, we select high quality educational free software and present it schools. For presenting high quality software, we bring schools, developers and consulting companies together and give opportunities for participation to this project. I know I don't have to explain the advantages of free software to the visitors of FOSDEM a lot, but I think we should show the advantages which schools can profit from. Educational establishments are independent from single suppliers, like Apple, Microsoft and so on, which can restrict the usage of the software unnecessarily or integrate hidden costs for special functions. Several organizations or companies can offer long-term support and schools are not bounded on special hardware. An example is Apple's educational system and the iPad. If a school don't have to use always the latest hardware, it can save a lot of money. We think software should adapt to the school and not the other way, and education shouldn't be commercialized. Adaptability enables contribution, and being a contributor is a strong learning opportunity. Education is an important use case of many software packages. We also know that young people don't just use software at school, but in their free time too. By playing video games, using multimedia and office software, or using an operating system and web clients, young people gained a lot of experience and a point of view which adults don't have. If we know that children and adolescents are the main consumer of software in school, why should they not be integrated into development? Every group of persons can bring diversity into a project, but students should not be missing at a project that develops software they will use. So all users should be considered contributors, but contribution doesn't mean that every young person has to be integrated into difficult development. Even the smallest kind of contribution, which can be asking questions of understanding, are valuable. Any project that wants to benefit from contributions must enable learners to become contributors, and that can be just realized if beginners are contributors as a stepping stone. But today, young users are a marginalized minority in the FOSS world. Young people face restrictions compared to adults. These are often unnecessary and imposed due to commercial interests of platforms. Now I will talk about the negative examples of platform that exclude some group of persons, like young persons. GitHub, GitLab, Slack, Zoom, or Discord are such platforms. They're all American platforms, and the American laws regulate the minimum age of customers of commercial platforms. And because of such restrictions, some people get automatically banned for working at a project that uses these platforms. For example, if a young person, that's a real example, if a young person finds a bug, for example, in a Python editor, and the person wants to fix that bug and report it, and the project was developed and published at GitHub, probably a person can't do that alone if the person is under 13 years old, because you must be 13 years old minimum if you want to use GitHub. And that's one example of a restriction. Some people of our Schulfrei project are that young that they are not legally able to use most of these solutions. And if we had to use for example Discord for communicating with other project members, they are directly excluded, because legally they are not able to use Discord. They can't take part into development, although they like to. That is why it is that important to choose free software for development or conferences that don't exclude any group of people. Children are just one example of such groups, but we should know that they cannot even legally defend themselves, and that's why we should help especially this group. The sentence, "Our events are for adults aged 16 years and over," is a sentence that you maybe find often in different conferences or hackathons. And yeah, it says everything. People younger than 16 years old can't take part. But there are several ideas what projects and people can do to improve the situation. Now I will talk about what projects, conferences, hackathons can do to include young people to contribution to their first project. First of all, it's important to adopt an open, miner-friendly development process and platforms. I mean that these projects shouldn't use the platforms I talked about, and they should use free platforms, for example EduGit or FormerGit, for the development process. And one very important part of a project are the code of conduct. They can directly include young people, because the code of conduct are made for including minorities. And yeah, I think young people are an important group of persons which can bring diversity into a project, and that's why they should be included directly in the project's code of conduct. And of course, a project should scrutinize the terms of use of their own platforms. If projects use self-hosted platforms, they can decide how their terms of use look like. And for that, it's important that there are no age restrictions, because they are not necessary if you're developing at a free software project. And Yeah, they should include as many people as possible. There are different ways how to get new community members and how to raise awareness for FOSS. Every project member, not even the leadership of a project, even the o only persons who participate, they should raise awareness for FOSS and maybe for the project as a learning opportunity in schools. If teacher are a member of a project, they could for example, raise awareness. But it's generally important to talk with young people and to tell them about the possibilities and how they can learn something for life if they work in a project. If we present the advantages of developing a FOSS project to young people, we should also present the advantages of including young people in a FOSS project. That means that if you're a member of a project and you want to include young people, you should talk about that in the project and point out all the advantages and yeah, that they can bring diversity. And it is important to explain that including young people into a project is a kind of education. It is important to remind people that free software comes from education. Many FOSS projects have their roots at schools and universities, so including people into a learning process with free software is nothing new. Teachers can raise awareness for free software to the students if they integrate development of the used software in the lesson. Later, we will talk about the project Alexis, which allows schools to develop own apps for several tasks. If a teacher would integrate its development into a lesson, the students could learn how to take part in a FOSS project and see how they can influence the result with their own participation. With that, they could directly learn how to use their programming skills they achieved in lesson. Universities can serve as multiplier too. While teaching IT topics to their students, they should mention the community aspect behind FOSS. They can present development of FOSS as a special way of taking part in a community and let their students contribute to free and open source software. Now I will talk again about using free software in education. At the beginning of this talk, I talked about the advantages of FOSS in schools. But then we should ask why that many schools and other educational establishments prefer proprietary solutions from big tech companies. The main reason is that many people are not familiar with free software and important advantages of free software can become irritating for customers. Diversity, which is important for the FOSS world, can make it difficult to find the solution a customer looks for. Projects can also differ in their quality and the software and documentation, what makes it hard to find high quality projects. Another problem is that can raise it, another problem that can raise is that decision makers don't know which kind of support they can expect and how to get in touch with it. The different kinds of support can overwhelm the customers too. During looking for free software, people maybe don't recognize if and how the software can get integrated into other software. All in all, the overwhelming amount of offers can irritate the decision makers a lot, so they decide against free software. As you maybe recognized, I call the persons from a school decision makers or customers. I call them like that because I want to show the different interests between the FOSS community and the responsible people at educational establishments for choosing software. The differences are that big that we can call it a culture clash for demonstrational purposes. On the one hand, we have the Fascine, which cares about diversity and freedom of choice, as I already mentioned. Free software is combined with a community in which everyone can help everyone. This community pays special attention to the four freedoms, which allow everybody to use, change, understand, and share software. That is why many free software developers don't want to commercialize their software projects, because they fear the profit could get in higher priority than allowing people to be used by any kind of group. On the one hand, we have the decision makers who often don't mind about the community aspect and force. They look for software that can solve a specific problem and pay attention to the presentation, the price, features, and the support. They want to buy a project that just works without any problems. Choosing a solution, paying for it, and putting the responsibility off to a company is the easiest way for the customers. But it is not easy to do this with free software. Now Felix is going to explain how Schulfire provides a bridge between both sides.
At Schulfrei, several fields that are all linked to each other are covered by the work of our project members. To begin with a very important part, let's have a look at the process of curating. Obviously, the target audiences of Schulfrei are schools and other educational institutions. So the first step is to find out what they use software for. When having a closer look on schools, many different software solutions are used. Computers for students and teachers, class and timetable management software, and now also online learning platforms and video conferencing systems are required. The next step is to find free software solutions that cover the needs. For many fields, there already is a solution meeting our criteria, but if there's nothing available, we also look for cooperation to develop our own software. This is the case for Lexis, which is presented later. Having software that does a certain task is one thing. The next step is to make sure that everything works together well. Thanks to the openness of free software, concepts like single sign-on are possible to integrate. Data can be exchanged to, for example, automatically create courses in Moodle based on information managed by Alexis. We advertise our project on our website, which contains information about the solutions and support we offer. Talks on conferences that are done by our project members are also important to get attention. We offer professional support for educational institutions and help them setting up and maintaining solutions from our curatorship. To ensure that everyone can receive the support, our long-term goal is to establish a network of consulting companies.
Let's take a look on the specific solutions that are currently in Schulfrei Stack. As already mentioned, we selected software components which can be used in schools and do work together well. The goal is to present teachers and decision makers one big solution which is made out of many solutions. Our idea is that every component works on its own specific task and is integrated into the other components. As we can see on the image, Debian Edu is presented in the middle of the solutions. And that's because Debian Edu is presented as the core in the Schulfrei stack. Around it is Nextcloud, the file management system, Alexis, the school information system, Moodle, the learn management system, and BigBlueButton, the video conferencing system. All these solutions work together with single sign-on, as already mentioned by Felix, and there's no need to create several accounts for one person. One person has one account and can use everything. And it's important to mention that it is not a, that a school don't have to use all of these solutions. If a school says they want just use Nextcloud and Debian Edu, or Alexis and BigBlueButton, there's no problem. It's working together, and the school has the freedom to choose what they like to use in school. Now Felix is going to explain how Debian Edu and Alexis work specifically.
A great piece of software that can serve as a base component to a whole school system is Debian Edu. With Debian Edu, educational institutions receive a solution that benefits from the stability and testing of the popular operating system Debian and its packages, and at the same time having an out-of-the-box working configuration specifically designed for use in schools. There are different options at installation time that allow to either install a server or one of some options for clients. For example, it is possible to run a thin client. Servers and clients are configured to work together in a way that allows authentication via LDAP, and on desktop clients, educational software like GeoGebra is pre-installed. The next example from our curatorship is Alexis. It's a free, extensible school information system. Extensible means that there's a base component that manages users and some basic tasks that are probably needed by every institution. Everything else is developed as a separate app that can easily be integrated into the core system. The core and some official apps are developed by professional developers and students together. That way, Alexis can be adjusted perfectly to the real-life requirements. In its standard distribution, Alexis, in combination with certain apps, can manage persons, groups, and courses. It can create timetables and room plans, as well as substitution plans and class registers. Additionally, there's a support and issue reporting system. Alexis is more than just a replacement for other proprietary school information systems. Thanks to its modular structure, Alexis also aims to be a base for developments in computer science courses. That way, students can learn programming by creating software that is actually used in their school.
How can you help? As we already explained, young people are still in a marginalized minority in FOSS projects. You can help by making projects become friendly towards education youngsters. If you see young people who seem to be interested into FOSS projects, help them to become users and contributors of your project or of Schulfrei. By engaging young people to contribute to FOSS, you also help organizations like us, because sometimes we do struggle to find new contributors. You can help to make our mission come true by telling other people about our project, or you can join us by doing marketing at our website or giving talks and running booths. You can also help at administration with Ansible roles, test deployments or bug fixes. We look for companies which want to work as service provider and help to spread free software for education. Our organization is largely financed by donations and sponsorships, so you can support our work by donating or sponsoring us. If you want to contribute to our project, you can join our chat room via Matrix, IRC, XMPP, or take part on development on Edugit. Thank you for your attention. Now we will be ready to answer your questions.
In the meantime, we have a question, which is, which tool is used in Debian Edu to administer users' permissions and so on?
Debian Edu currently uses
the... which tool is used in Debian Edu to administer users' permissions and so on?
Debian Edu is currently using the... Debian Edu is currently using the administration tool called called Goza.
Debian Edu currently uses
I'm not sure whether this is working correctly. I just hear the question repeated over and over again. So I try again. Debian Edu is currently using the Goza administration tool, which originates from a German company that created a general LDAP LDAP management system for company networks with some add-ons tailored at schools. But we are trying to replace this with Alexis so that schools can manage all the data and information concerning the school in one place, and it is then pushed out everywhere it is needed, including the school network system.
If there are no more questions, I would thank all the speakers for this great talk. Thank you.